Turn with me, please, to just First Thessalonians 5. If you remember last time that I spoke, I spoke on anxieties. This was a sermon I was supposed to speak on, but as you see, it's quite long, and I'm still actually flushing it all out. So it's at least two sermons. It might end up three or four. And so you're going to hear part of it this morning and then a second part this evening. All right. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14. Excuse me. He says this: "Now, as we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, then comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one just renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue just what is good, both for yourselves and for all." Verse 16, "And just rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in what Christ Jesus concerning you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil." Let's pray. Father, as we open up this text this morning, give me wisdom, give me discernment and with clarity of thought and speech, Lord. For you know I stutter, but Lord, that is a gift from you. Use me this morning, Lord. May we put into practice what this passage exhorts us to do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now we exhort you, brethren. Exhort. What does it mean to exhort? Well, it means to call near and to invite and just console, comfort, call for, or what to speak to. It is the same word that was used in Matthew 5:4, where God comforts those who mourn. God calls us near. It's the same word, exhort. But it also means to implore, to beg, or to request earnestly. Paul here is begging us, calling us to do something that is for every believer. I exhort you, brethren. Brethren, it's for all believers, not just the pastor, not just the elders, deacons, not just the counselors. It's for everyone. It's personal. It's for every believer. We are all called to do this. It's addressed to the whole church. Should not be done by just ministers only. Then F.B. Meyer says this: each soul has a ministry to others. We all have a ministry to others. You may not think, "Well, I'm not important." Yes, you are. Somebody needs you. Somebody needs you. This is a call and exhortation to every single believer. We are being exhorted by Paul to do something. What is that something? 12 things. And this isn't a 12-step program. It's 12 things that just we should be doing. One, warn those who are unruly And just, we're going to take these apart one by one, all right? Two, comfort the faint-hearted. You know, I have this, I should use it. Three, uphold the weak. Four, be patient with all. Man, that's a tough one. Be patient with all. Five, you see that? No one renders evil for evil to anyone. Six, always pursue just what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Number seven, just rejoice always. Number eight, pray without ceasing. Number nine, in what everything give thanks, just for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Number 10, do not quench the Spirit. Number 11, test all things, hold fast to what is good. And then 12, abstain from every form of evil. 12 things that just we're going to look at. Obviously, just we're not going to look at them all today because there's way too many. I've got like 79 pages of notes that I've been gleaning through. Okay, I've been reading and looking. I think I've got two sermons prepared already. Now let's take these 12 points one by one. All right. Yeah. So number one, warn of those who are unruly. We were just read Ezekiel in two different passages. It will use the word warn. Make sure that the watchman warns. Okay. And that word warn means to put in what to the mind, means just a caution or just reprove gently. I didn't know that thing flashed until now. So I thought it was just a caution, you know, at clip art. I didn't know that it flashed. All right. Well, that adds to it. OK. But warn those. Put it into their minds. Put it into their minds. Warn those who are unruly. Unruly. What does that mean? Unruly means disorderly. I'm too bad Seth isn't here, because I was going to ask him a question about this. Those who are out of rank, it means. It's deviating from the prescribed order or just rule. It is a military term, out of rank. The unruly. We are to warn the unruly. Adam Clark says it is the duty of every church member to affectionately admonish those whom they know to be living contrary just to the requirements of the gospel. And just, he also says, the great mass of what church members feel no responsibility on this subject. Just let them live how they want to live. That's not what Scripture says. Warn the unruly. Warn them. Warn them of the wrath to come. Warn the unruly. And now, many years ago, I was a young believer then. And I would like to tease somebody. But you know Shirley Walker. You just met her in just Walmart. If you remember Karen, that one. I used to tease her. She was an older woman. She's my spiritual mom. Okay, I feel like family to her. And I was teasing her. And there was another woman, just Laura May. Just you know Laura May. She was a missionary. Well, she warned me. She gave me a warning about teasing people. And you know, it's been 30 years, 35 years, I have never forgot that. I have never forgot that. Because I can tease people pretty harshly. With Tim Smirkin, because he does the same thing, right, Tim? Yeah. See, my son is just like me. The apple doesn't... Yeah, far from the tree, right? Well, yeah. That's Tim, too. Warn the unruly. I was out of line. And she corrected me. She warned me. And if you know Laura May, she was only about this tall, but she spoke with force. When Laura May spoke, you listened, and I listened, warned the unruly. So instead, as just many become careless and cold and worldly, and what no one utters a what kind word to them, to recall them to a holy walk with God, to put them back in the ranks. Instead, what happens? They just wander farther and what farther off. We need to warn the unruly. Look at 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 11. Oops, second. I'm in first. Sorry. 2 Thessalonians 3. Sorry. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 11. It says this. Whoops. Well, there it is. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. See, the Thessalonian church had this problem. They were walking in a disorderly manner. They were out of rank. They needed to be put back in rank. And then look at verse 12. Now those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. And what notice? He what commanded them, he put them back in rank. He what called them out, then he put them back in rank. Warn the unruly. What should be the response of the one warned? Maybe you're the unruly one, like I was. And what you've been warned. What should be your response? Look at Psalm just 141. You don't have to go there. I have it here. Let the righteous strike me. It shall be a kindness. And let him rebuke me, and it shall be an excellent oil. Let my head not refuse it, for still my prayer is against the deeds of the wicked. And I believe that word strike means to hammer. Whoa, that looks wicked, doesn't it? That you're hammering it into somebody's head. But that's what that word means, to strike, to hammer. And I know sometimes I need to be, it needs to be hammered into my stubborn head, just like it needs to be hammered into Tim's stubborn head. Right, Tim? I'm using you as an example because you're laughing back there. So Robertson Wordwell Picture says it this way. Put sense in to the unruly mob who breaks rank. Put sense into them. And sometimes it takes a lot of warning, doesn't it? It takes a lot of force just to do that to the stubborn. Just we read about Ezekiel. He was told to warn the people. We just read that. I am not going to go there again. Warn them. If you don't warn them, their blood is on your hands. But if you warn them and what they don't heed it, it's on their own head. And he says that in Ezekiel 3 and in Ezekiel 33. Warn those. There's always warnings. Warn the nation of Israel. Warn them. Put it into their heads. Warn them. Acts 20:31. We have Paul just warning about false teachers, and he also calls them savage wolves. And he says this: so be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I would never stop warning you. 3 years, and he's still pounding it into their heads. Night and day, I just warned each of you with tears. He was warning them, false teachers, savage wolves, be on the lookout. Because it would cost them their soul if they followed false teachers, savage wolves. And then for 1 Corinthians 4, turn there with me, please. 1 Corinthians 4:14. And just again, Paul. And Paul says that I do not write these things to shame you. But as my beloved children, I warn you. As what parents, don't we warn our children? We warn our children. Don't touch the hot stove, you'll get burned. And, you know, some don't heed the warning, right? And just what do? They touch the hot stove and they get burned. Paul said, I warn you. When the Colossians 1 verse 28 says, him we preach, warning every man, and with teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Why do we warn them? To make them perfect. That's what Paul was doing, to make them perfect and to put them back in the ranks as they are just soldiers of Christ. And so the application. Do you know anyone who is unruly? Look at your family. Look at your friends. Look at the church. Do you know anyone who is unruly? Warn them. Two weeks ago, I got a phone call from one of my prayer warriors. His name is Ted. You don't know him. He's up in the Poconos. But Ted what called me just for counsel. He's got a daughter who is living in sin, but she professes to be a believer. And just we got talking about Ashley, that's his what daughter's name. She lives down in Philadelphia somewhere. She is what divorced, has a child, but is now living just with another man together. And what he said, Don, I have to warn her. I have to tell her that she's living in sin. And he's exactly right. Warn those who are unruly. Warn them. Warn them. Number two, second thing that is we are exhorted to do. 1 Corinthians 5:14, comfort the faint-hearted. Comfort. The word comfort means to encourage, to console, to calm, to address one by admonition and incentive. And then the word faint-hearted. We don't like to think of ourselves as what faint-hearted or what feeble-minded. But you know, sometimes we are. Sometimes we are. Just like to sometimes we're the unruly one. Well, sometimes it's we're faint-hearted, feeble-minded, as we're going to see. And the faint-hearted are what those who are just little-spirited, feeble-minded. Albert Barnes says, these folks are dispirited and disheartened, or with downcast. That's us sometimes, isn't it? Life is tough at times. We need comfort. We are this sometimes. They may have been assailed by temptation or just opposed when doing good. Then almost overcome by spiritual foes. They walk through shades of just spiritual night and find no comfort. Think about Job. All that Job faced. I bet he had nights like this. Yet he found no comfort. Even sometimes God seems like he's far away. Like he's not, like he doesn't care, or just he is asleep. David experienced that. And they need constant exhortation to rise above their difficulties and go on steadfastly for the Lord. Constant exhortation. Constant comfort to carry on. Constant comfort to carry on. Look at Isaiah 35:4. It says this, say what to those who are fearful hearted. Be strong. Do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. He will come. Wait for him. Trust him. He will come. Then Isaiah, turn there with me, please. Isaiah, please. Sorry, we're going to jump around the scriptures. Isaiah chapter 40. Verses 1 and 2. Verse 1. It says, comfort, yes. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and will cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Notice, comfort. Yes, comfort my people. At times we all need to be comforted. Then Hebrews 12:12 says, therefore, and would strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. And just feeble knees aren't just from wearing out, right? Right. Just, you had to be careful how I said that. Feeble knees. We need to be comforted. We need to be strengthened. Paul exhorts them, comfort the faint-hearted. The application, do you know anyone faint-hearted? Do you know anyone who is discouraged, who is downcast, who is struggling? Comfort them. Comfort them. And if you don't know how, ask God to help you. Comfort them. Think about Linus. He's always got his blanket, right? And sometimes Snoopy's there as well, on that blanket. And think about our children. Don't they need comfort? Sometimes Laura calls. She's in a tizzy. She needs to be comforted. Needs to be prayed for. That brings her comfort. John Gill says, such persons as are not able to bear the loss of his relations, they are ready to stagger under the cross and at the reproaches and the persecutions of the world. And are just almost overset with the with the temptations of Satan and are borne down and discouraged with the corruptions of their hearts, speak a comfortable word to them and encourage them just with the doctrines of grace and the promises of the gospel. Amen. Comfort them. Come alongside. Comfort them. So far, just we've been exhorted to warn the unruly, comfort the faint-hearted. Thirdly, uphold the weak. Uphold the weak. That word uphold means to hold oneself opposite, to adhere, to support, hold to him firmly. I had what first thought about crutches. I was going to bring in some crutches. But that's not quite right here. It's more like a walker. Because it's in front of you. You're supporting them not from the side, but from the front. You're face to face with them, upholding them, lifting them up, supporting them, holding them firmly so they don't fall. Yes, and who are we to uphold? The weak. The weak. The weak are those who are strengthless, literally, figuratively, or just morally, feeble, infirm, sick, weak. And again, that is all of us at times. It's all of us. Sometimes we're all weak. Put in the right situation, that could be you or me. Uphold the weak. I mean, what biblical illustrator said, he says the word denotes, say, what special deficiency in what knowledge or faith, a what liability to fall. Now, I go to nursing homes and, you know, people fall all the time. What? Two Thursdays ago, I was there. I was speaking. I was doing the Bible study. Somebody just walked into the bathroom. And then, boom, and that's all you heard. And then all the staff runs because they know what that meant. Because somebody fell. And she did. And now she's in a wheelchair. They don't want her walking. Why? Liability to fall. She falls. She fell three times that day. That was the first time. Three times she fell that day. Uphold the weak. She was weak. And just it also says the word render support denotes the act of what taking. Just another. By the hand or arm. And I think just Marie Hoffman. When she comes to church, she needs help. Up the steps. What do? Take her by the arm. Lock arm in arm. And then help her up the steps. Uphold the weak. Now that's physically, but it could be morally. They would tend to sin. Comfort them or support them. Yep, would hold them. I'm starting to mix them up now. Yeah, how should we support them? With the moral influence of what sympathy, prayer, counsel, and example. Yeah, let me read a story. From Night and Day, by what Dr. Bernardo. All right, hold on, I got to find it here. It's here. Oh, here it is, I got it. All right, 21 and 22. Yep. Okay, this is what it says. In the town of Leeds, I was waiting one wet, wintry night outside the railway station Well, just when a ragged, dirty boy just selling papers came up to me and said, "Well, buy an evening paper, sir." "Well, please do. The only 7 left, and they's all my profit." And the boy's eagerness, well, just to sell fewer papers just arrested my attention. And on just looking down, I saw a bright, intelligent face with a look of what honesty in it. And just so I would question him, and what found that his parents were, he would suppose, and was drinking at a public house in Brigget. He had, and with no cap, just to wear, just on that rainy night. "Yes," he said, "but he had lent it to his sister, who was waiting just for him in an old doorway just across the road till he sold out. But the cap wasn't on her head because she had no boots or with stockings. So I told her what the boy said, put it on your feet to keep him warm and what prevent her catching cold. Surely this was a self-sacrificing and what chivalry, just worthy of the knights of old. For a boy who thus cared for his sister exhibited the true story of bravery." His sister had a need. He had a cap. He gave it to his sister, who was weak and frail, probably. He had no shoes, no stockings, so he told her, "Put my cap on your feet." What was he doing? He's upholding the weak. Would you let somebody put their feet in your hat? This boy did. It is raining. It is cold. He's standing out there and he's getting soaked. But what he had, he gave away to the weak, to someone who is weaker than he. And then Romans 15:1 says, "We then, just who are strong, all to bear just with the scruples of the weak, and not please ourselves." That boy just wasn't pleasing himself. No, he was helping his sister who was weak. Uphold the weak. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 22 says, it is Paul again speaking, "Just to the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." Paul just ministered to the weak. And what Paul became like them to save them with the gospel. Acts 20:35. "I have shown you in every way, by just laboring like this, that you must support the weak." You must support the weak. Uphold the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Think about that boy again. He's what, selling papers. His parents are drunkards. And he's taking care of his sister. And just what is he was doing? Giving to his sister. What a picture. What a picture. May we be like that. He's uphold the weak. Application. Do you know anyone who is weak? examine your life. Maybe in your family. Maybe at school. Maybe in your neighborhood. Is there anyone who is strengthless who needs your help? Anyone here who needs your help? Uphold the weak. Support them. Care for them. This is what C.H. Spurgeon says. Poor hearts are what often in deep despondency, sinking for lack of a sympathetic word. No one's caring for them. Look at our world. We all need to be cared for. We all need it. We all need it. As we practice these things, could we fill this church? If we practice these things, do not withhold it. Do not withhold it. Rescue the perishing. Be on watch for despairing minds. Be on watch. The weak are everywhere. And sometimes it's just a simple smile, a simple hello, lifts their spirits. That's all it takes sometimes. In the nursing home, sometimes when I walk in, you see despondency. Many of them stick their head down. They just waddle by. But if you say something, their heads pop up. They look at you and they smile. It happens all the time. Uphold the weak. Uphold the weak. And so today, so far this morning, just we have looked at warn those who are unruly. Warn them. Correct them. Put them back in the ranks. 2, comfort the faint-hearted. Come alongside them. Come alongside and just minister to them. You have a ministry to others that you can fulfill. We need to do it. And then lastly, uphold the weak. Uphold the weak. Do what you need to do to minister to them as well. They're all around us. These folks are all around us. They're here today. And Paul exhorts us to do something. Let's do it. And let's close in prayer. And dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, help us to do what Paul here, what tells us, and through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Lord, just to those in need. Because, Lord, sometimes it's us that is in need. But, Father, help us to do it to others. And may we do it faithfully in Jesus' name. Amen.